Hello, everybody, and welcome in to eBible Fellowship's continuing Bible studies into the book of 1 Samuel, heard at this very same time, Monday through Friday. And we thank you for being with us wherever you are and however you're listening to us, either through eBible Fellowship's webcast audio or through Skype or perhaps through Pal Talk or even over the phone. And we pray that the Lord's blessings will be with us over the next 30 minutes or so as we now prepare to open our Bibles and introduce Chris McCann. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 1 Samuel. This is study number 45. And we're going to pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 2, and I'll start reading in verse 29. Wherefore, kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel my people. Wherefore Jehovah God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now Jehovah saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Excuse me. Behold, the day is come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house, and thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, in all the wealth which God shall give Israel. And there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And I'll stop reading there. Now we have been going along verse by verse in the book of 1 Samuel, and we've seen how God is building the case against the nation of Israel, but more particularly against Eli and his house. And God has already shown us the fault with Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And now the Lord is turning his attention to Eli, the father, the judge of Israel. And God is indicating that he has failed to rightly discipline his own children. And in doing so, in not chastening them, in failing to correct them, Eli has honored his sons above God himself. And Jesus said in the New Testament that whoever loves a son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And so that is the great fault that God is putting his finger on here with Eli and his family, and that they were taking advantage of their spiritual position in Israel. They were taking advantage of their authority over the worship system of Israel in Shiloh. And so the Lord is going to judge them. And that's why verse 30 says, wherefore Jehovah God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now Jehovah saith, be it far from me. And we saw in the book of Deuteronomy how God had given that promise to Aaron and to his sons. But actually, God used Aaron and his descendants as a spiritual type and figure. The Lord never intended that the physical descendants of Aaron, the priest, because of their physical descent, that they were related to Aaron, that meant that they would continue to minister before him forever, or that would somehow be a blessing to them and bring eternal life to them. No, they were types and figures that God used in order to paint a picture, to teach of the spiritual priesthood of the body of believers that that the Lord Jesus would bring together when he would save his people. And that's why we looked at the couple of verses we looked at last time, where the Lord speaks of building a spiritual house comprised of living stones. And every individual, whoever became a child of God, whoever God had saved, was like a living stone added to the spiritual house of God. And then once God saved all that he intended to save, then the house would be completed. And that's the day we're living in, where God has completed the house of Christ, the spiritual structure that is the body of believers. It is completely finished now, and the Spirit of God is indwelling all of his people. Just as historically when God finished Solomon's temple, for example, then the Spirit of God would enter into that temple. And so, too, at this time, in a spiritual sense, God has completed his house, and he is indwelling every single believer. Therefore, it is as though he has entered into the house, just as he entered historically into in the houses, in the house, the temple that Solomon built. Well, now God is saying in 1 Samuel 2:30 that the statement that he made to Aaron and Aaron's sons is no longer applicable, that be it far from me. So as far as the physical relationship of ministering forever, that will never happen. Well, could it have ever happened? Yes, if the priests, the descendants of Aaron, had ministered perfectly, then they would have continued in their priesthood forever, as God had said. Just like God has said to mankind, if we obey him perfectly, then we could live forever. But no man obeys God perfectly. So it's not a false statement. It's just a statement that mankind fails to live up to, and the priest of Israel failed to live up to. But there is a priesthood, the spiritual priesthood, that is enabled by Christ, by God himself, to live up to that perfect standard of God, as all sins have been paid for by Jesus, and God does not see any transgressions whatsoever. So the holy priesthood of the believers does live forevermore, and they will, each child of God will minister to God forevermore. You know, that's not an insignificant statement when God identifies all the elect as a holy priesthood, because the priesthood was to be busy serving God in the ministry of the temple or the house of God. And that alone lets us know that when we enter into eternity future, that we are going to be occupying in the ministry of God, in the service of the Lord, in whatever way he would have us to do that. And so here, though, Eli and his house are coming under judgment. God indicates, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now, this phrase, them that honor me, I will honor, is a phrase that really strikes us. We're very interested in this because Of course, we would like to be honored by God. We would want Him to honor us in some way. And so God indicates, if you honor me, there will be a result to that, and that is I will honor you. And so we wonder, well, how can we honor God? Well, we can see what God has in view here when we turn to Isaiah chapter 58. In Isaiah 58, this is an Old Testament chapter, but like much of the book of Isaiah, it points to some New Testament truths. And in verse 13, the Lord is speaking of the Sabbath, but He has in view the New Testament Sabbath, the Sunday Sabbath. And He says in Isaiah 58, verse 13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, and once again, when we read the Bible, you know, God has all sorts of figures of speech, and when we look up the word foot or hand, we find that they represent the will of a man, and here God is indicating, turn away your will. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of Jehovah, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. So here in the middle of this verse, God indicates that if a person, if an individual were to cease from doing their own thing on Sunday, on the Lord's holy day, on Sunday the Sabbath, if, for instance, they have been working, but now they've come to realize, oh, God would not have me to work on Sunday, and they stop working, or if they previously have had no problem going to the football game or the baseball game or cutting the grass or whatever activity they've been involved in that has been worldly and not spiritual, if they were to remove their foot, their will, as it has been treading upon God's holy day, and begin to do things on that day according to what God would have us to do and not what we ourselves would want to do, then that would be honoring Him. And we can see clearly at the end of the verse, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. So this helps us to understand what it is to honor God and what it is to not honor Him or dishonor Him. To honor Him is to do it His way. Whatever we think of it, we may not understand it. We may have some other desires than that we would probably prefer to do than what the Bible appears to be saying. We might find our own pleasure in another direction. Yet, God is saying, forget all of that concerning Sunday and do it my way. You know, as we've been reading about Eli and his sons, it's awful easy for us as the reader, as someone removed from the historical situation by many, many centuries, over three millennium, actually, it's very easy for us to look and say, my, why didn't Hophni and Phinehas just do it God's way? It would have gone so much better for them. and gone so much better for Israel and Shiloh. Everything would have went so much better if they just would have honored God and if they would have simply done it his way and not their own way. Well, that's true. That's true, but that's kind of easy for us to say since we're far removed from that day and their circumstances as the sacrifices and all the things we're reading about and even Eli and his failure with his sons. But you know, all of us, each one of us, really faces the same situation as Eli and his sons faced, even though the circumstances are different. And the Sunday Sabbath is one example of this. Do you and do I honor God on his holy day? Do we? Because there's no in between. Either we honor him or we're not honoring him. And remember when Saul was told to destroy Amalek, and he did it. He fought utterly. He killed most of the animals as commanded, and except for the best, and he killed everyone except for the king. And yet Samuel came and told him that he had disobeyed. He had failed to do the word of the Lord. God's standard is perfection. And so we again and again, when we see that perfect standard of God, oh, we shy away, we realize, oh Lord, we need your help to do your will, to keep your commandments, because we are men with feet of clay. And so for the child of God, it leads us to beseech the Lord that he would work in us to will and do of his good pleasure. Well, this is the example that shows us exactly what God means. Honoring him is obeying him. It's doing it according to the way he would have us to do. And not honoring him would be doing it our own way or not completely or not entirely exactly as we have been commanded by God. That would also be dishonoring to him. Well, going back to 1 Samuel 2, verse 30, for them that honor me, I will honor. And we actually see this also in Isaiah 58 in the next verse, in verse 14. Notice what God says. Then shalt thou delight thyself in Jehovah, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of Jehovah hath spoken it. And here, this language of being fed with the heritage of Jacob thy father would relate to receiving the inheritance promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the inheritance which basically is the kingdom of heaven. It is all the wonderful blessings of God that accompany salvation. That would be the heritage of Jacob. And so this is the honoring of God upon those that have honored him. And we can't ever forget that we would only desire to do things God's way and be able to perform the doing of it, as 2 Corinthians mentions, by the power of God himself, after he has saved us and he has put his spirit within us and strengthened our inner man by his spirit to then be able to do things that are pleasing to him. And even though it sounds like first we must do the work of honoring him, and then the result will be he will honor us, we know we have to read the whole Bible, and the whole Bible tells us that no man of themselves will be able to honor God, but everyone will fail, and God is the one who must work that out within the believers. Well, it goes on to say in verse 30, at the end of the verse, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now, in what way have Eli and his sons, the priests of Israel, despised God? Well, God gave us some examples of how they did this. He was demonstrating to us their failure regarding the sacrifices, their failure to be obedient to his commandments was a form of despising God himself. But we can see exactly what the Lord has in mind here when we turn to Malachi. Malachi chapter 1, and Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. And this question comes up specifically in verse 6 of Malachi 1. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith Jehovah of hosts unto you? O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that ye say, the table of Jehovah is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith Jehovah of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that he'll be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith Jehovah of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith Jehovah of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. And it continues as God is addressing the priest of Israel, and he has said that they have despised his name. And then very specifically, God lays out what the priests have been doing. They have been polluting the altar not rightly been offering the sacrifices, but instead of giving good animals, spotless lambs, they are finding animals that were blind, lame, sick. Why? Well, because they are less valuable. And the more valuable animals would be the healthy. And this relates to Hophni and Phinehas and their servant who wanted the best of the meat to roast, and they did not want the fat to be burnt. They were choosing the best aspects of the sacrifice for themselves, and the priests, it appears, were falling into a snare that they were failing to do things God's way, because they what a waste it is, after all. If you look at it from an earthly perspective, if you view the sacrifices from man's point of view, to take a healthy, young, strong animal that's worth a good deal of money, and to take that animal and to kill it for no apparent reason, and then to burn it upon an altar, and then to do this again and again and again, we see in the Bible that the temple was basically a slaughterhouse, as thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands of animals were sacrificed over and over and over. You can see the mind of man at work, as men who really did not know the Lord, like Hophni and Phinehas or other priests. They weren't truly saved. They didn't have a new heart or spirit. They had a fleshly mind. And they would look at this and see all the waste, all the food going to waste, all the money that was being wasted on these healthy animals being slaughtered. And yet, well, they had to offer sacrifices. They couldn't get around that. The people would be outraged if they tried to avoid that. But what if we take the sick and the lame and the blind animals and we offer those? It would be doing the animals a service. It would also be very wise. We would save the healthy animals for food, for livestock, for dealings, and for making money. And so we can see how this aspect of the sacrificial system could be perverted, polluted by the lusts of men and man's desire to profit. And so this is what God is indicating was despising his name. And this is the charge that God levels against Eli and his sons, that they have despised him. And God says whoever despises him will be lightly esteemed. Now, this word translated lightly esteemed, it's one Hebrew word, is translated itself as despise. In Genesis 16, 4 and 5, this is where Hagar has been able to conceive, where her mistress Sarah was not able to. And so it says in Genesis 16, verse 4, and he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And verse 5, and Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee, I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. Jehovah judge between me and thee. Now this is the same word, lightly esteemed. And even though I don't think this particular word is translated as despised anywhere else or hardly anywhere else, except in these two verses in Genesis, but it is more often translated as cursed. For instance, in Psalm 37, it says in verse 22, for such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. And the word cursed here is lightly esteemed, or translated as lightly esteemed in 1 Samuel 2. And so it's not a good thing at all. If you are lightly esteemed by God, it indicates you'll be cursed by him, and this will result in your being cut off. And cut off is a language that is describing the judgment of God when he finally destroys mankind. He cuts them off from life, from existence, and they cease to be. And it goes on to say in verse 31, behold, the day is come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. Now, this verse is interesting, but we'll have to get to this in our next study. We've come to the end of our time tonight. So please join us once again next week, Lord willing, Monday evening. We'll continue in the study of the book of 1 Samuel.
You've been listening to eBible Fellowship's Chris McCann with his continuing studies into the book of 1 Samuel. These studies are heard every Monday through Friday night at this very same time over Pal Talk, over Skype, over eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over the phone. Lord willing, we'll have another Bible study for you tomorrow night into the book of 1 Samuel. And until then, may the Lord's perfect will be done. Good night.